We're going to start reading at verse number 41 of Luke 2. We'll read down through the end of the chapter. If you'll please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph his mother knew not of it. And they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintances. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them, and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and man. Let's pray. Father, again, I want to thank you for the blessed book, the Bible. I'm so thankful, Father, you've given us your word. We know it's the truth. We know it's your word, every word of it. We're thankful for it. It's inspired of thee. And Father, thank you, Lord, for what you've done concerning the word of God. Now, Lord, this morning as we preach it, we need your help. We need your power, your wisdom. Lord, it may be that someone's here without Christ. Father, never been saved, doesn't know for sure if they die, they go to heaven. Be a wonderful day, Father, for that to take place. I trust they'll go away from this place, Father, with the assurance that they know Jesus as their personal Savior. And Father, then of course, for we as God's children, Lord, we need strengthened in the faith. We need to be helped. And I pray this morning, Lord, that you'll just help us and guide and direct us and use us. And help us to be better, Lord, than we've ever been before for the Lord. Now, Lord, the will of God be done. Give us an attentive spirit in this place, in our children's churches, junior churches. We pray, God, that the will of God be done there. And we'll just thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. Your many blessings you've bestowed upon us. Now help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. This morning we're going to bring a message which I've entitled, Being About His Father's Business. I think Luke, the second chapter, is a very familiar chapter to us. We certainly see in that chapter, we see the wonderful time when the angel of the Lord came and announced the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a great portion of Scripture that is. We've seen soon after that took place, we've seen that there was the bringing of Jesus to the temple there 8 days after his birth, and here he was circumcised. We see also the story about Simeon and how he took him up in his arms and said, God, you can just go ahead and take me on home now. I've seen the salvation of the Lord. We also seen the story, of course, of Anna and how that she there lived in the temple, stayed there and lived there and fasted and prayed. And she also saw the Lord. The Bible says she spoke to all of those about the redemption that had come. What a great story. What a great chapter it is. Down at the very last two verses before we started reading in verse 41, you'll notice in verse 39, he says, And when they had performed all these according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Here we find, of course, how they returned to Nazareth. It talks about Jesus' early life. And then we take up the story that we're going to cover this morning in verse number 41. We see how they came up to Jerusalem. It says that when he was approximately 12 years old, came up to Jerusalem. and there to do the sacrifices and the things that was according to the law to do. And they did this year by year. And what I want to do this morning is I want to kind of preface all of this by saying I believe Mary and Joseph was probably one of the finest parents that ever was on the face of this earth. I believe that. So when I'm saying about them leaving Jesus there in Jerusalem, I certainly am not trying to condemn them. I'm just going to take some stories and some principles that we find as they came up to Jerusalem, as they left Jerusalem, because they came up with him. They left without him. They began to look for him and couldn't find him. And then we're going to look at where they found him. Okay, this morning? So just a simple message, but I want to share some things with you. I want you to understand, you and I need Jesus. Now, I know that's a simple statement, but we need him all the time. I mean, we need to be aware of his presence every day of our life. And so when they came up to Jerusalem, they certainly brought him with them. I just want to start off by saying to you, you know, Christ is with us in salvation. There's no doubt about it. He's a wonderful Savior, wonderful Lord. And I think about it sometimes, and I think about this, and I think it is so foolish for any person upon the face of the earth to not be saved. Christ came to die for all. He came and died for all men that all might be saved. It is so silly, so foolish for any person to turn down Jesus Christ and be saved. You know, all you have to do is just get out a little bit and you see people and you see their lives in such a mess. You see them unsaved, don't care about the Lord. And I think about how foolish that is because life is soon to be over. You know, when you get a few years on you, you kind of look at that and you know that, you know, it's coming down the other side of the hill. Amen? And what I'm simply saying is how foolish it would be to leave this place, to die without Christ. You know, Jesus is with us in salvation. That's what he came for. You know, I'd say to you this morning, I don't know your heart's your heart. I can't read your heart. But, oh, don't walk away from this place unsaved. Don't go home not knowing Christ as your Savior. He loves you. He died for you. He's paid all the cost of salvation. You don't have to pay it. He's already paid it. Amen. And so he just wants to give you eternal life. I just want to kind of start the message this morning, let you know how much Jesus loves you. And he's with you in salvation. Amen. He wants to save you, wants to give you eternal life. He will if you just let him. Amen. So I was thinking also he's also with us in our daily walk. Once I got saved, I don't know how you feel about it, but I don't know what I would do without him being with me in my daily walk. I mean, every day of my life, I have the privilege of being able to turn to him and trust in him and know that he loves me and know he's with me. You know, the Bible talks about Enoch who walked with God. The Bible also says that Noah walked with God. What a wonderful thing it is to not only know him as Savior, but to walk with him from day to day. You see, he's with you in your daily walk. I mean, he's there. He's promised to do that. He's promised to not leave you nor forsake you. I think about the needs of my life. Every day the needs of my life are met in Christ. I mean, they're just met in him. I think about the protection that God, how he protects us. It's amazing God's protection upon our life. I remember back some time ago over on the 48 coming from Shelburne, down to Wilford. Everybody knows where the big town of Wilford is. And that road that goes north out of Wilford, we used to live there. And I still vividly in my mind, I remember I pulled up and I was heading east and I was getting ready to turn to the north. And there was nothing coming. I pulled up there and I kind of came to more of a stop. And I once looked up in my rearview mirror. And coming from behind me was an automobile at a high rate of speed and went out around me. And right there where I was turning, I had my turn signal on. I was getting ready to turn. And all I would have had to done is just turn the wheel out into that and well, I think we pretty well know what would happen. I mean, I'd have got broadsided right in the and I look at that and I think of the great protection that God gives us. Now, folks, I know that, many of you have been in automobile wrecks and things like that. You've had things like that happen. A couple years ago, I was in an automobile wreck. I still remember that very vividly, just coming, hitting this guy that turned in front of me, and I just slammed into him. I just remember that so well, and I just come to a stop. I mean, I looked around, and I said, I'm still alive. I'm okay. I mean, I wasn't even hurt. I wasn't nothing. I mean, I was just sitting there, and I was okay. Now, I don't mean, folks, if people get hurt in accidents, I don't mean God with them. That's just not true. But I just mean, look at all the times and the protections that God gives us. And many of you out here today could remember times, look back at times when you ought to have been hurt very badly. Or you could have been hurt very badly. And yet God was there. And God took care. And I think about that He's with us every day of our life in protections. Understand, He's the one that takes care of us. Amen. Until He's ready to take us home. I mean, He takes care of us. And I think about that. Walking with Christ, not only in salvation, but having Christ with me every day of my life. And then I think about the direction of life. I don't know how you feel about this, but I look back on my life and I thank God that I had someone guiding and directing my life and what direction I should go, what I should do, where I should go, all of those things. Folks, listen, we need God's direction. And when Christ is with us, we have the directions from the Lord. He's promised to instruct us and teach us in the way that we should go, to guide us with His eye. It's a promise of God. Amen? So I'm just simply saying to you, when Christ is with you, you have your needs met. You have protections. You have direction of life. And I'm also thankful down through the years that I can look that God has, and I'll use that big word, sanctification, but He's helped me to grow in Christ. It's been something to look way back there, 30, I think it's about 38 years ago now that I've been saved, 38 years ago that I got saved, and think about where we've come from and how God has guided and directed and helped us to grow in the Lord. I'm sure I should have grown more, but I'm just simply saying, you look back and you see what God does for you, and He takes you along and helps you to grow, and we call it sanctify. He sanctifies you. He sets you aside for His use, amen, and helps you to grow. It's amazing. You see, that's what walking with Christ does. Amen. It's a marvelous thing to have Jesus in your life. Amen. And then I think about also all the troubles that come through those years. And to know that Jesus is with us in trouble. All the troubles, folks, He's with us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. And troubles come our way. And I think about that and I think, boy, not only do I have Him in salvation, but I have Him in the walk in life. And every trouble that we've ever faced, Jesus has always been there and always will. Now, it may not have been easy, may not have been, sometimes it's difficult, sometimes it's all, but I'm just simply saying to you, folks, Jesus is with us. You see, they had Jesus with them when they went up to Jerusalem. And just real, I know you've heard this before, but listen, when you go to Jerusalem, you're going up. It's just kind of like you're always going up. Well, that's the way the Christian life ought to always be. It always ought to be going up. Amen. And when you turn around the other way and head back away from Jerusalem, I want to tell you something, you're always going down. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But I just know that He's with me in salvation. He's also with me in my daily walk. Folks, He's a wonderful Savior. He loves us. I mean, we ought to praise His name today and thank God for Him. But I also know this, He's going to be with me when the end comes. There's just no doubt about it. I think about that quite a few times. As I told you earlier, when you get a few years on you, you begin to look at this a little closer than you used to when you're a teenager anyway. Amen. And, I think about that valley of the shadow of death. I think one of these days, we're going to have to cross through it. Amen. We just are. Amen. It's all right. I'm just saying we will. And just think about it. He's going to be with us. He is with us, and He will be with us. My wife and I have talked about this a lot of times. We just like to go together. Have you ever, you get these things, you say, well, we just like to go together. We really would just like to go together. We don't know if that'll happen or not. We don't know. But, even then, if you went together, you still individually has to cross over. And, you know, I can't do it for her and she can't do it for me, but Jesus is with us. Well, that's a wonderful thing to know that Jesus Christ being with you, you know, not only in salvation, but in your daily walk with Christ, but also in the end day. Well, it's going to come for all of us. Amen. I'm not trying to make people sad here today. I hope it's 50 years for or 60 years for you. But I'm just simply saying it's going to come. And just to know that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, will be there with us is a marvelous, wonderful thing. Amen. He'll never leave us nor forsake us, you see. He always was. So he was with them when they went up to Jerusalem. But I want to show you in verse number 43. It says, and when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. I just want you to know, when they got ready to leave Jerusalem and left Jerusalem, he was not with them any longer. I've got a quote here that I'd like to give you. You've probably heard me quote before, C.H. McIntosh. He's one of my favorite writers. Of course, he's way, way, way back there. But I read some of his writings and things, and I just, he sees Christ in everything. He goes through the Bible, and he just sees Jesus everywhere. I like that. Amen. But I want to give you a quote that he said. He said, if we can do nothing, self-confidence is the height of presumption. Now, did you hear what I said? If we can do nothing, self-confidence is the height of presumption. Now listen to what he says. If God can do everything, despondency is the height of folly. I mean, if God can do everything, why are we despondent? I like that. Amen. You see, is he's with us. Christ is with us. You see, our problem most of the time is we've never come to the place where we've admitted we can't do anything. That's our real problem. And we can't do anything without him. And so we just kind of still got that self-confidence of, you know, we can make it. We can make it. We can do that. But folks, we can't without him. No, we can't without him. I don't think I'm convincing some of you. But we can't do it without him. Amen. He can do everything. Amen. So there's no use being despondent. God can do anything we need that needs to be done. Amen. So we know that as they, and he tarried in Jerusalem and they knew it not. So they left Jerusalem, and remember this, they headed back down. Anytime you leave Jerusalem, you're heading back down. A lot of folks who've known Christ, who've known him in salvation, knowing him in the daily walk, and even at times maybe have trusted and knew that one of these days they're going to cross over and they knew that God would be with them, but they've walked away from God. And they don't realize anymore that his presence is not close like it ought to be. Now, folks, it's a bad thing. Let me tell you, it's a bad thing to walk away from Jesus. That's a serious thing. I think, you know, maybe I ought to preach a whole series of messages on backsliding. Backsliding is a horrible, horrible thing. We just don't realize it. And a lot of times people don't even know they're backsliding, or they won't admit it. But you get away from God, you leave Jerusalem without Jesus, you're in trouble. Amen? Now I want to tell you something. When God provides, and I told you earlier, God provides all of my needs. You see, what we get to doing is we walk away from the Lord. We just kind of think we're taking care of everything. We just kind of got our head up in the air that we're taking care of things. We're providing all the needs of our life. Folks, get off of that thing. You remember something. You won't breathe another breath unless Jesus says to. No, you won't. You won't eat another meal unless he provides it. No, you won't. Oh, you say, I know, but I can. No. Not unless he allows it. Amen. And people walk away from God. They walk away from the Lord Jesus. And they're unaware of his presence in their life. And even the protection. Sometimes we think we're tough. We think we can take care of ourselves. Folks, we could be taken down in a moment's time. Yes, we can. Amen. And you know, direction of life. We get to drive in the car instead of letting Jesus do it. I'm not talking about a regular car. I'm talking about life. We get to direct in life, and we get to decide in which direction we're going, what we're going to do, without ever getting alone with the Lord and saying, God, what do you want with my life? What do you want? What direction do you want me to go? Amen. We need the assurance of the Lord in direction of life. Folks, you can get your life all messed up if you don't follow the Lord and go in the direction that He tells you to go in. And let me say also, in troubles, you know, troubles come and they beset people. I'm saying this to you folks because, listen, sometimes trouble just overwhelms people. I mean, they just overwhelm them. I want you to know something, folks. With Jesus, they don't have to overwhelm you. Troubles are sent for reasons of life. Sometimes it's just to get our attention, shake us and get our attention. Jesus is just trying to wake us up. Understand? Troubles are not bad, not always bad, folks. They're sometimes just to wake us up, realize we can't do it without Him. Now, here's what happens when you walk away from Jerusalem without Jesus. You know, it's kind of like Samson laying in the lap of Delilah. Boy, he, you know, they come and cut his hair, and he shook himself, got up, and he said, Philistines are upon thee. Boy, that was a dumb story. If you read that story, I'm not going to preach that, but that's a dumb story. He was dumb as a box of rocks. Told her over and over these things, and she'd do it, and he'd just do it. He'd just dumb. Tell her again. Finally told her, cut my hair. So she did. Said, Philistines are upon thee. And he gets up and shakes himself. Not realizing, that's what the Bible says, not realizing that the Lord had departed from him. Oh, my, my, my. Do you know there's multitudes of Christians today that just get up and shake themselves, not realizing the power of God's gone? No, the power of God has gone off their life. There's no power of God in their life, but they just get up and shake themselves. They come to Sunday school. They do the things they're supposed to do, and there's no power of God in their life. Folks, listen, you can't do it without Jesus. No, you need Him. Amen. You see, and a lot of times people just get indifferent. They just get indifferent to the lack of His presence. It just becomes a way of life with them. The presence of God, they don't understand. They don't have the power of God in their life and the presence of God, but they just go on. It just becomes indifferent to them. They just survive. Folks, listen, Mary and Joseph went away without Jesus, you see, and they didn't even know it for a while. Day's journey. Before they understood, He wasn't there. I think there's a lot of folk who spend maybe years and years away from the power of God in their life and don't even realize He's gone. Oh, it's a shame. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take the time to go back to 1 Kings. You'd probably like to go back there. I want to share something with you I think will help you. All right? You know what happens? You know what happens in life? We just get so busy. Now, we get taken up with the cares of life, and we forget our spiritual life. And pretty soon, we just get our life in a mess. We don't really realize. We don't realize God's not there anymore. Now, I'm not talking about in keeping power. I'm not talking about He'll save you and keeps you. I'm not talking about it. I'm talking about His presence and His power is not in your life. Over in 1 Kings, the 10th chapter, did I tell you that? 10th chapter. Now, what I want you to do is, I know it's a little bit of a lengthy, but I want you to listen. I want you to listen because this is Solomon, all right? This is Solomon, David's son Solomon. He was given, I guess he was called one of the wisest man on earth. God blessed him in ways that we can't even imagine, okay? But I want to take you and show you, starting at verse number 14 in chapter 10, I want you to listen very closely to what was going on in Solomon's life. Okay? Will you just listen and hear kind of what's going on? He says, now the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 603 talents of gold. Besides that, he had of the merchantmen, of the traffic of the spice merchants, and of all the kings of Arabia, and of the governors of the country. And King Solomon made 200 targets of beaten gold, 600 shekels of gold went to one target, and he made 300 shekels of beaten gold, 3 pounds of gold went to one shield, and the king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with the best gold. Now, are you hearing what's going on? You talk about a rich man. You talk about the busyness of life. You see what's going on in his life? And he's verse number 19, and the thrones had six steps, and the top of the throne was round behind, and there were stays on either side on the place of the seat, and two lions stood beside the stays. 12 lions stood there on the one side, and on the others upon the six steps, and there was not the like made in any kingdom. And all King Solomon's drinking vessels were of gold, and all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were of pure gold. None were of silver. It was nothing accounted of in the days of Solomon. For the king had at sea a navy of Tarshish with the navy of Hiram. Once in 3 years came the navy of Tarshish, bringing gold and silver and ivory and apes and peacocks. And so King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom. And all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. And they brought every man his present vessels of gold, silver, and vessels of gold, and garments, and armor, and spice, and horses, and mules, and a rate year by year. And Solomon gathered together chariots and horsemen, and he had 1,400 chariots, 12,000 horsemen, whom he bestowed in the cities for chariots, and with the king of Jerusalem. And the king made silver to be in Jerusalem as stones, and cedars made he to be as the sycamore tree, and are in the vale for abundance. And Solomon had horses brought out of Egypt, and linen yarn. The king's merchants received the linen yarn at a price, and a chariot came up and went out of Egypt for 600 shekels of silver, and a horse for 150, and so for all the kings of the Hittites and for the kings of Syria did they bring them out by their means. Now, I read all that to make a point. This guy was rich. His attention was on the things of this world completely and fully. Only one time does it mention God, because people would come and he would give them the wisdom that God gave him. But in the story of Solomon, and I could have read all of that in there before I started reading, and you would find out that you don't find Solomon doing much worshiping God. He just was too busy. He was too rich. Now you say, why are you telling me all this? Well, I want you to listen, chapter 11. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughters of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites and Ammonites and Edomites and the Sidonites and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. And it came to pass when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. I want to tell you, this is a sad story. Now, I want to tell you, he spent most of his life after riches and attending to the affairs of this world. Now, I want to show you in verse 6, and Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Skip down to verse 9. And the Lord was angry with Solomon, because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. And we could just keep reading that. But folks, why don't you listen to this? This serious business. You say, well, Brother Ross, that's old Solomon. He was rich. No, no, no. It's happening today. People are so caught up in the affairs of this world. They are just constantly. They don't even realize that Jesus isn't even with them anymore. Now, I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about in his presence, in power. He isn't even with them anymore. And they're so caught up in the affairs of this world and the riches of this world, they are just like Solomon. And pretty soon their heart is turned away from God. And what I'm trying to get you to do is realize, is Jesus with you? In power, in presence. Do you commune with him? Do you know him? Or are you so caught up in the things of this world that you're just going on in life, and you don't even take time, as Solomon did, to spend any time with God. You hear what I'm saying? You say, oh, that couldn't happen to me. Oh, yes, it could. Oh, yeah. Yes, it could. You see, they went out of Jerusalem without Jesus. And many times people go out of church and go out of their homes every day and go to work every day without Jesus. He isn't even in their thoughts. He isn't a part of their life. Going back now to Luke, I want to read to you verse 44 and 45. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintances. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. You know, what they did is, when they couldn't find him, and in the troop that was leaving there, they went around, they looked in the acquaintances, all the people they knew, and even their kinfolk. When I read that, I got to thinking about it. I wonder about us and our acquaintances. Is Jesus amongst our acquaintances? How much time do we spend with folk who don't even know Christ, and we choose to do so? I'm not talking about in a work situation where you can't help. I'm talking about we spend quality time with folk who don't even know Jesus. Now, I want you to listen to me. We're going to bring that on down to kinfolk. I got to thinking about that, and I thought the importance, if you just listen to this preacher a morning, some of you brothers and sisters out there, do you understand, do you realize how important it is for that little brother or that little sister to be able to look up to you and see Jesus? Do you understand how important it is? I'm not talking about that they just look up and find you saved, you claim you're saved. I'm talking about seeing Christ in your life. Do you understand how much little brothers and sisters look up to big brothers and sisters? And they ought to be able to see Jesus. They ought to find Him. Do you understand that, how important it is that you set the example? And I don't care if you, and we're not just talking about teenagers. I'm talking about even when you get older, you ought to got a brother or sister, maybe younger than you. They ought to still be able to look at you and find Christ. They ought to see you faithfully loving God and walking with God. Don't you think? I believe Aunt and Uncles. I was talking to a fellow, may tell you in a minute, but I was talking to a fellow while Donna and I was gone for a couple days for our anniversary. Talking to a fellow in a restaurant, went into the restroom, and I was, got to talking to him. And I asked him about salvation, talked to him, and he said, you know, I've got three uncles that are preachers. Now, I'll get back to that in a minute, but you know what? I think we ought to have our relatives, we ought to be able to see God in them. Are you an uncle? Are you an aunt? Why don't you be a good one? Why don't you be somebody your nieces and nephews can look up to and find Christ in? Why don't we as parents be able to look and our children be able to look up at us and see Christ in us? How about grandparents? I like that subject. How about grandparents? Don't you think that grandchildren need to be able to look at godly grandparents and see godly grandparents? Find Christ, see Christ in them? Oh, I do. We have no right to do anything else. And I say to you, as a witness for Christ, we don't have any right to not live for God day by day. We don't have any right not to do that. There's too many people looking at us, watching us, depending on us to stick with it. Amen. And then I want to show you where they found him. I want to go over to verse 46 and 47. Came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. You know, when they went to look for Jesus, they found him one place. He was in the temple. And as I started this message, he was doing his Father's business. I'd just like to share something with you. We can talk about Jesus being with us all we want. And you know what he is. I know the scripture says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. I understand all those truths. When he saves us forever. And I thank God for that. But we talk about, yeah, Jesus is with me. I want to tell you something. Jesus will not be where the Father's business is not being taken care of. You see, not only was he doing it there in the temple, but he went on home and he submitted himself to his parents. And he grew. That was part of the Father's business. I was talking to this man, I was telling you earlier, I went into the restroom talking to this man, and he had a little boy with him. And this little boy was over here, and he was washing his hands. And I said to the daddy, I said, you know, it looks like to me you have a fine young man there. He said, he is a fine young man. And I said, he just seems like he's just a good boy. He said, you know, he is. And this little boy spoke up, and he told me his name. And he had a name list of about five or six names. He just rattled them off. Ethan was the first one. That's the only one I remember. He said, my name was Ethan. About six names. He just rattled them off, you know. So we got to talking, you know. And the daddy said to him, he said, why don't you shake this gentleman's hand? And he just stuck his hand out. We shook hands together, you know. Now, I've made it a pact. I'm going to pray for Ethan, hopefully, if I can remember it, for the rest of my life. I don't even know what his last name is. But I'm going to pray for him. I'm going to pray he gets saved. I'm going to pray God uses him. He'll be a fine young man. And I said to his daddy, I said, you know, you and mama must be doing a great job. You're training him. You're teaching him. I said, this boy's got something to him. And I said, that don't just come. That comes through training. And the dad, of course, got, you know, he liked that. And I said, daddy, I said, are you taking this boy to church? And he said, no. He said, no, I'm not. He said, you know, he said, that's what he told me. He said, I grew up in church. And he said, I've got three uncles that's preachers. And he said, but you know, our lives got busy. And he said, me and my wife were schoolmates together, and we got married. He said, I have a little girl, too, he said. And he said, we decided, both of us, to go back to school. He said, we're going to go back to school and be teachers. And I said, well, I said, you can still go to church. He said, well, it seems like there's no time. No time. And I looked at him. I said, son, listen to me. I said, I'm a lot older than you are. So I want you to listen to me. The greatest thing you can do, I don't care how busy you are, stop some of the busyness. But you get that little boy and that little girl in church. Teach them about Jesus. Teach them about Jesus. Now you say, Brother Ross, was Jesus in that restroom yesterday at the restroom? Oh, yes, he was. You know why? Because he's always busy about doing the Father's business. He always does the Father's business. You want Jesus with you in power and presence, you're going to be busy about doing the Father's business. That's where he's at. That's where he's at. He's always busy about doing the Father's business. Isn't he? Yeah. Yeah, amen. Now, that doesn't mean he has to be behind a pulpit preaching all the time, but he's about the Father's business. You see, we need to be about the Father's business. Amen. Now, I just want to ask you, you know, there may be a time when you had Jesus with you, and then you just left his presence. No, I understand theology, but you just left his presence. You just walked away from him. His presence, his power is not with you anymore. Folks, the greatest thing you can do is get to looking back for him. You ought to get to an altar of prayer, and you ought to get down on your knees and say, oh God, I need you. I need your presence in my life. I need your power. Don't you think? Amen. And you know, and when that happens, you'll find that you'll be doing the Father's business, because that's where Jesus is at. That's where the power is going to be at. It's when you're busy doing the Father's business. Regardless where that's at, whether that's in the home or the workplace or where it's in church or whatever you're doing, it's doing the Father's business. Amen. So where are you at? I want to ask you a question. Have you ever been saved? Are you born again? Are you sure if you died today you'd go to heaven? Are you 100% sure that you ought to be 100% sure that you're saved? You ought to know for sure you're God's child. You ought to know that. If not, I've got some great news for you. You can come walk down this aisle. We'll have people standing right up here. They'll take the Bible and show you how to be saved. You can be saved. You can know Christ as your Savior. Are you walking with him on a daily basis? Are you walking with Christ on a daily basis? You see, you need that. I need that. You need his presence. You need his power. Amen. One of these days you're going to cross over that great divide one of these days, and you're going to want his power. You're going to want his presence. Amen? So I'm just saying to you, is it time to come back, get dedicated? Is it time maybe just to be saved, to be born again into God's family? Amen? Why don't we give it to Jesus this morning and let him have his will in our life? Amen? Let's pray. Father, again, I thank you today for your goodness and your kindness and your grace. I thank you for who you are, your goodness to us. And Father, once again, it's possible, Lord, there's some folk here maybe don't even know Christ as their Savior. But we've got good news for them. You love them. You died for them. You want to save them. I trust they'll have the courage to step forward and be saved this morning. I pray also for God's children. Lord, let us do a checkup. Where are we at? Do we have him with us? Lord, we may have started out all right, but is he with us now in power and presence? Oh, Father, is he with us all? Lord, are we where we should be? And if not, wouldn't this be a great time, Lord, for these folk and anybody that just walked away from God to get back right with God? I pray that that takes place. Your will be done. We know where Jesus is going to be doing the Father's business. So we ask you this morning, Lord, just to help us to conduct the Father's business here this morning, and that hearts will be drawn unto you. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.